KBOO Community Radio proudly co-sponsors the SCANA News Group's annual Martin Luther King Jr. Breakfast, Monday, January 21st, from 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Portland. At this unique event, students, citizens, elected officials, and business leaders from around the region sit down together for a morning of celebration and a close examination of the compelling social issues of today. This year's main theme is environmentalism and social justice, with keynote speaker Stephen W. Coleman, Executive Director of Washington Parks and People, a grassroots alliance of community parks partnerships based in our nation's capital. Proceeds from the event help fund dozens of college scholarships for African American students. More information is available at www.thescanner.com, that's scanner with a K, or at 503-285-5555.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Coming up next, Art Focus, Julie Bernard's guest is David Rosenack. His work was featured in the 2006 Oregon Biennial Exhibition. And at 11, of course, it's Democracy Now! Stay tuned for Art Focus.
Allons dansons. Écoute et répète. Well, I love cubism. It's my favorite style. When I see a cubist painting, I just gotta smile. But there's one painter I'm his biggest fan. He's the father of cubism. His name's Cézanne. Cézanne, the father of cubism.
Good morning. Well, it turned out to be a very good day today. And aren't you glad? Because we found David Rosenack. And I hadn't talked to him for quite a long time. And I couldn't get him yesterday. And so he turned up this morning.
There he was.
And good morning. And I'm so glad you're here, David.
Well, thank you so much, Julie. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah. Well, we were fooling around and trying to get Deborah Beers sorted out so we could do her instead, because we weren't quite sure about whether you would show up or not. And there you were.
Well, I wouldn't miss it, Julie. Thank you.
And I'm so glad that you're here. Now, David, you are, those of you who went to the biennial know David's work. It was in the Portland Art Museum in, when was it, 2006?
Yeah, that's right, summer of 06, yeah.
And since then, a lot of good things have happened to you.
Well, a few, anyway, yeah. Two of the paintings that were in the biennial are now part of the permanent collection of the Portland Art Museum. They're up on the fourth floor with the Contemporary Northwest work. Hanging right across from some beautiful pieces by Michael Brophy, who is one of my favorite painters anywhere. So that's a very happy thing for me.
Yeah.
And I also have a painting right now as part of the little city county employee art show. It's called All the Art That Fits, and that's in the, what do they call it? The lobby exhibition space of the Portland building downtown. So if people are curious, they can go and check that out. I think everybody knows where the Portland building is, and it'll be there through the 25th this month, I think.
Okay, and the city gave you a short vacation so that you could do some painting, didn't they?
They did. It was actually a very long vacation. I was off I was off from April of last year until just this last week. I'm now back at work. I am... frankly, sorry to say, I'd much rather be painting, but it was really a wonderful thing that the city allowed me to do that, and was made possible really by my having a rather dull clerical job, so I'm very easily replaceable, so they could kind of find really anybody to do what I do, and so I was able to take that time to paint, and I did. I painted every day, and painted full-time, more or less, and I didn't get very much done because I'm the world's slowest painter, but it was a very nice thing for me to be doing.
You're very meticulous, and it has to be just exactly right for you and your consciousness.
Yeah, it's very detailed work, and I'm very, very deliberative. So I sit there and I look and I look and I look and I look, and then I'll dab a little paint on there, and then I'll look and I'll look and I'll look some more. And so it's a very good year for me if I get two paintings done. That doesn't happen very often. So I'm really the world's slowest painter, I'm sorry to say.
Well, I want you to tell, you have an impairment too, don't you? Do you want to tell us what that is?
Because well, I have at least a couple of impairments, and I'm not sure which
maybe
one you're
they're
referring
not
to.
Impairments. The one that has that deals directly with your drawing.
Well, I have two impairments, and I'm colorblind. I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to.
You're colorblind.
And then I also have Parkinson's disease now. Which has slowed me down even further. I have a tremor in my painting hand, which is making it increasingly difficult for me to paint.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well,
you're too young for that.
Well, I'm afraid it's not, and I'll show
I'm
you.
So
your
sorry.
Listeners can't see my hand, but you can, and you can see it's shaking like crazy. So,
it would shake more now that you're in this little room here.
Well, that's
addressing the whole of the U.S. of A.
That's true. I can slow it down a little bit when I'm painting, and I'm learning to accommodate my tremor so that I can paint the way I like to paint. But I was, very slow before, and I'm even slower now because of that. But I think you were referring to my color blindness, which is why I paint in black and white.
Yes. And what kind of paints do you use? Can you and how do you select a photograph? You paint photographs, don't you?
I use photographs as references. I never really just take a picture and copy it. But the process starts with looking, and I look and I look and I look sometimes for a period of years at scenes that interest me.
Mm-hmm.
And I look from different angles, and I take various photographs. And again, I'm very deliberative. And eventually, I settle on a view, and I'll take some pictures and kind of work up ideas. And then usually I'll start to draw, and I'll go back, and I'll take more pictures. And for this reason, it really suits me to work very close to home, because then I can go back and look and look and look and look some more. And kind of lost the thread of what I was saying here, but you asked about photographs.
Yes, I was also asking about your impaired vision.
Well, yeah,
and what it does, what you can see better than most of us, and what you can't see. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, I'm not sure that I see anything differently or better than anyone else. But I don't really think of my color blindness as an impairment. It is in the sense that it affects how I see work by others. I mean, I know when I look at most painting that I'm not seeing what other people see, and it makes me sad that I don't see all that color. But for my own work, I'm very happy to be working in black and white. I don't feel that that's a handicap at all. I actually felt liberated when I switched from color to black and white. I used to paint in color, but that was a long time ago, and it was problematic because I don't see it, and so other people see all sorts of things in it that I didn't intend, and that's not happy to be told. For example, when I was painting a blue sky, or what I thought was a blue sky, and repainted part of it, and I showed it to a friend, and I said, well, didn't I do a wonderful job? And she said, well, yes, but half of the sky is green and the other half is purple. And a little light went out of my head, and I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't work this way anymore.
Okay, well, if you're painting in black and white, are you more conscious of shape and form and getting it correct? And how are you I'm going to say, emotionally absorbed in the shadows around a house.
Well, yes.
Is that
I mean,
a decent question?
Sure, yeah. Well, certainly tone becomes, tonality becomes very, very important. I mean, I suppose it would be for anybody, but just relying on, you know, I have two tubes of paint. I have my black tube and I have my white tube. And it all comes from that, so it's all a matter of what I do with that. And so that's lights and darks. And it took me a long time, really, to figure out what I was doing. At first, when I worked in black and white, my paintings just looked like paintings that should have been in color, but were somehow in black and white, and they were just, I think, a little dull that way. But I think that over time, I've figured out what I'm doing a little more, and I'm completely comfortable with it now. I think in black and white when I think about my paintings, and I think if I suddenly had color sight that other people have, I think I would still continue to paint in black and white. I feel I can express everything I want to express with those two little tubes of paint. So I'm really happy about it. And in fact, I can't imagine painting in color now. It seems so prohibitively complex to me. I can't imagine how anybody could do it.
Now, how long does it take you to produce a painting?
A long time. As I was saying before, it's a lot of looking, and sometimes years of looking goes into it. For example, recently I've been painting scenes that are in my yard or my neighbor's yard or what used to be the Washington High School, which is across the street from me. I found a photograph recently that I took in the 80s that was meant to be possibly a study for a painting. This is before I even lived there. So I've been looking at this scene for a long, long time, and I'm always looking. So there's a lot of looking that goes into it. And then I start taking the photographs. That takes some time. And then from the photographs, I produce a drawing, which is really a chore for me. I'm really not crazy about the drawing stage of all that. It's something that I just kind of make myself do. And that can take weeks or months even sometimes. And then when I start, I transfer the drawing to a wood panel. And so it's a detailed drawing because I try to solve compositional problems in the drawing stages as much as I can, just because it's so much easier to revise things in the drawing stage rather than the painting stage. So I end up with a drawing that looks sort of like the outlines like you might see in a coloring book on a piece of wood, a wood panel, a plywood panel. I generally work very small. People know this if they've seen my work, but like 8 inches square might be a typical size for me. And then I start to paint, and that can take, a long time. I mean, it's always months. And as I said, a really good year for me, I'll do two paintings. That's a great year for me.
Okay, and then people come in to the... Do you want to talk a little bit about the place where you work, the Troy Laundry?
Sure, yeah, it's Troy Studios, which
is... a great place.
It is a great place, and I understand you shared a studio there at one time.
I did.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
With Judy Weiss.
Judy Weiss and I were working together for a long time.
And Judy's still there. She's one of the very few people there who've been there longer than I have. It's been about 20 years for me now. But it's a wonderful old building right here near the KBOO studios. It's on Southeast 11th between Ash and Pine, although it's a large building, and we now just opened up some studios in the basement that have an entrance on 10th, which is kind of a wonderful thing. So there are about, 25 studios maybe, something like that. And I think that it's the oldest continually operating studio building like that in Portland. I think it's been there since the late 70s now, and I've been there since the mid 80s. And for the last few years, we've had an open house around December, and I was so happy that you came to visit this last December when we had the open house and had a stream of people coming through, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
Especially for me, I've avoided having a gallery representation So I don't show much, and so it's very nice for me to have people trooping through. I'm not well known in Portland, and as I mentioned, I don't show much, so having people come to me is a nice thing, since my paintings don't really get out there very much.
Well, I think they're going to be getting out there, David.
Well, we'll see.
It's got to happen.
Well, you know, I have this peculiar career. I produce so little, and I put so much into these little paintings that they become like children to me. Mm-hmm. And I find it very hard to let them go. I like having them around. I enjoy them. I paint them to my specifications, so I love them. And
they are your friends.
They are.
They're good friends.
And they're also very useful to me to have in the studio. I learn from them every once in a while. I might pick one, and if I've finally discovered after some years how to solve a particular problem, because they all have problems even when they're supposedly finished, I'm able to dabble with them again, and I've rescued a lot of paintings that way over the years. So I like having them around. So I don't really sell my paintings except under very exceptional circumstances that would allow them to be widely seen, such as the one that I sold that was donated to the museum, which was a wonderful thing, and that was engineered by Jane Beebe. I want to thank her for that. That was a delightful thing that she did, even though she doesn't represent me, although she did in that particular sale. So
that's great.
It is, but it's hard to have a, it's hard to have an art career when you don't sell. And so all these years I've had the idea of getting a body of work together and then doing something with it, but I paint so slowly. It's really only now, after a couple decades of producing these cityscapes, that I feel like I have enough work for a solo show. But I'm in no hurry to do that, because really I'm only going to show these paintings as a group once in Portland, so I want to make sure that when I do it, it'll be in a venue where people will really pay attention. And my name isn't out there much. People don't really know me. So my name isn't going to attract people to the show at this point. So it's opportunities like you're giving me now that hopefully will get my name out there a little bit, so that when I do show, people will be interested and they'll come and look.
And do you know where you're going to show now?
I haven't really thought about that. It's not something
I feel...
Have
you had offers? Sure you have.
Not well.
How about Jane?
you can't. We've had some conversations, and I've had conversations with others, but for now,
You can't let your babies go.
I'm kind of neurotic about that.
And yeah.
It's kind of a difficult situation.
I want one. So, I saw one that I want.
Yeah.
It's small.
You know, people ask me if they can buy them, and I always feel terrible because... When people want something of mine, I want them to have it. I really do. It means a lot to me when people like my paintings enough to approach me about that. But I'm just hanging on to them pretty tight for the time being. And, I'm not in a hurry. I'm just more focused on producing the best work I can. And I figure the rest of it will take care of itself if I can do that and make some kind of minimal effort to get my name out there.
You could always go visit them, David.
Well, depending on where they are. That's one of the nice things about having things in the museum, is I can go visit them. But if they, just disappear into someone's living room somewhere, especially if it's not in Portland, then I can't do that. And I don't like the idea of that happening. So,
well, hang on to them a little bit longer.
That's what I'm doing, for better or worse.
Yes. They are such friends of yours.
They are, but one thing I can do if people are interested is I can encourage people to contact me. I'm always happy to have people come to my studio. I'm there every evening and during the day when I'm not working, and I'm always happy to have people come by and look. That delights me, so don't be shy out there. If you'd be interested in doing that, please contact me. I'm in the phone book.
Yes.
It is Rosenak.
You're the only Rosenak in the phone book.
I am.
Yes.
You discovered that this morning when you were trying to track me down, wondering if I was going to show up, right?
Yes. I got kind of desperate.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was no reason to, because I knew that you were a very dependable person, that you would do what you said you were going to do.
Dependable for some things. I'm pretty disorganized, but I am compulsively punctual, so you needn't have worried.
Let's talk a little bit about your family. Your mother was an artist?
She was. She was a very accomplished artist, and she worked very, very hard at her work. And she showed in, a series of galleries in Los Angeles, the Joan Ankrum Gallery and then the Lewis and Newman Gallery in Beverly Hills. She did very, very well.
Good.
She painted all day long, every day, and she was very, very good painter. I just loved her work, and that was a wonderful thing to grow up with. You know,
And your brother is an actor?
My brother's an actor.
A very successful actor on Broadway.
Not on Broadway, but in New York. And
New York.
I was just telling Julie that I was in New York last fall to see and receive an award, the IT Award, Innovative Theater Awards, which is the award for off-Broadway productions. And he received a Best Actor Award for a wonderful play he was in called 6969, and he got by Jordan Seavey. And Max, my brother Max, got an award for Best Actor in a play, Best Lead Actor. So that was quite wonderful. And my sister was an artist as well. She, I'm sorry to say, died as a result of breast cancer about a year ago, but she was actually probably the most talented person in the family. She was prodigiously talented, maybe the only person I've ever known who I would describe as a genius.
Really?
Oh, she was just one of those freakishly talented children that you hear about every now and again that there's sort of no explanation for.
And she was a painter?
She did a lot of different things. She worked in many media. She was a painter. She drew. She worked in clay, she did a lot of different things. And so being an artist in my family is no big deal. I didn't have the problem that a lot of people have when they think about artists, where they have to overcome family resistance or their own feelings of wondering if that's an okay thing to do with their lives. For me, it was just as natural as breathing, so people sometimes ask me how long I've painted, and I say that I always have. I've always been an artist, if I can call myself an artist.
Oh, absolutely. You wouldn't, I don't think anybody would question that, David, ever.
Well, I don't know. Artist is kind of a funny word. It's such an abused word, and people have such, it can be a very romantic word to people.
That's true.
And so I usually just call myself a painter rather than an artist.
Okay.
And to call oneself an artist, I think, can be taken to mean that you regard yourself as being special or having a vision or, you know, being a visionary of some kind or to see things differently than other people. I don't think I do. I think I take in what everybody else takes in. More or less, I think I just have this output that
it's generous. Because it's secretive in a way. It's between you and what you're doing entirely.
That's a good way to put it. That's true, yeah.
And simply and entirely, it's between you and what you're doing.
Yeah, it's has kind of a...
It's very
multifaceted nature. I mean, being an artist is a very private thing. Yet it's
should be.
Yeah. At the same time, it's about communication at the same time. So it's very private, but it's also a way of reaching out and hopefully moving people putting something in myself out there that people can relate to, which is a powerful experience for me. You know, when that connection is made, that's one of the nice things about getting my paintings out there a little bit now is the response I get when they mean something to people. It's very important to me. It's a good thing.
And when you were in the biennial, what kind of responses did you get from the public, as it were?
Oh, I got a great response. You know, and I knew that a lot of people are going to like my paintings. They're very accessible. They're not insiderish. They aren't referring to other art explicitly, and you don't need to be an expert to grasp what I'm doing. So I knew I was going to get a good response, but it was a wonderful response, and I'm sure that a lot of people saw them as being hopelessly retrograde. They're not innovative at all. They're not expanding the boundaries of art, which some people look for. I think that's kind of a meaningless endeavor myself. I don't think art has boundaries, so I think to speak of expanding them is a little bit
silly. There's no flourish and athletic activity around your work.
No, certainly not. No.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. So I'm sure there were those people out there who were dismissive of my work.
Some people don't stop to really look at the work.
Well, they don't, but then, of course, some people stop and look, and they just don't like it. I mean, it just happens that way. But I didn't hear from any of those people, so I got really a wonderful response. And it was a little surprising to me, the response I got from other artists, which was very favorable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least the ones who approached me about it, and that was kind of a very nice welcome into the Portland arts community for me, which I hadn't been a part of really at all to speak of before. And now I feel like I'm a little bit in there, kind of standing on the fringes a little bit, and I've met some very nice people who have been helpful to me and who have been very nice for me to get to know.
You were born and raised in California.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I was born and raised in San Francisco and in the Bay Area, but that was some time ago. I've been living in Portland since 1981 now. Quite a while to be doing this without any attention to speak of. That's nobody's fault but my own, because I've mostly just been hiding away in the studio again, trying to produce this body of work that's been so long in coming. So the biennial was a very nice thing for me. And thanks to Jennifer Gately for that. She had never heard of me and just plucked my slides from her big bag of slides that she was faced with when she came to Portland. And she liked the work. She came and looked at it, and she didn't care that I didn't have much of anything on my CV or that no one she knew about me, and just thought the work was good enough and put it in the biennial, and good things have been happening since then. So I have to salute Jennifer's independence.
Yeah, and very good judgment, I think.
Suits me, yes.
Yeah, I think it suits us all. But I think she has a very hard job being brand new and selecting artists of the Pacific Northwest.
I couldn't imagine the pressure. I mean, you have to be made of steel a little bit, I think. Because, I think 800 people applied and I think 30-something went in, so you're going to make a lot of people unhappy. And everybody, all the insiders have ideas about who should be in and who should be out, and you have to be prepared to defend that. And you have to be independent-minded and strong and willing to work very hard. It's a lot of looking through slides and a lot of studio visits. And of course, the biennial, as many listeners know, I'm sure, is not going to be done by the museum anymore. But it was, I'm sure, a lot of work for her.
There may be another show in the Portland Art Museum. I'm sure there will be. Portland people and Seattle people.
Yeah, they're doing, I forget what they call it, it's a Northwest, it's a regional award now, and I believe,
I think
the finalist
too
has been selected, and I believe that'll be going up. I hate to be wrong here, but I think it's probably next summer. People might look for that. I certainly will be looking forward to it.
We all will be.
Yeah.
A lot of us are looking for it now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, day after tomorrow would be a great thing.
Yeah.
Because the winter is going to be shifting out, and we're going to shift in the spring. And so I hope that we'll see some of your work in whatever display there is.
Well, thank you. You know, I hope it'll be turning up somewhere sometime.
And we're through, I'm sorry to say. We have finished this interview and very pleased that you came this morning.
Oh, me too. It was a very quick half hour. It's always a delight to talk to you, Julie.
Yes. David Rosenack has been here this morning, and we can look for his work, and it will be on display from time to time. Or you can, do you want to give people a phone number?
Oh, I don't know if I should. But I will.
It's up to you.
Okay, grab your pencils quick, folks. It's 503-232-8926. Or if you can remember my name, Rosenak. I'm in the phone book. Always happy to have people come by the studio.
Yeah. And he's tucked away in the Troy Laundry.
That's right.
And he can be found in the evening, I suspect.
Well, virtually every evening and some afternoons as well.
Okay. David Rosenack, thanks so much for coming this morning.
Thank you, Julie.
And thank you, Emily. And this is Julie Bernard and Art Focus.
Tune in Wednesday the 22nd for an epic literary showdown of epic proportions.
In the octagon, we have two epic fighters, Harry Potter and Hamlet.
See them compete in battle as the Cable Youth Collectives does their underground show on books.
We will have a victor.
So remember...